This is Leo Babiu for KTWH 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio. I have the opportunity to speak this Tuesday afternoon, first day of December, with Bethany Delvis of Waterview Shores. Greetings. Welcome to the show, Bethany.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I think that a number of people would be interested to know about the challenges that you faced for these 8+ months that COVID-19 has become the driver for almost everything we think about and do this very challenging year. And I'm sure that you're in a position that a lot of my listeners would never want to find themselves in, trying to take care of a number of people resident on your campus. Could you describe for us, Waterview Shores, exactly what your campus includes, staffing numbers and number of people that are residing at Waterview Shores?
Yeah, oh, definitely. So I'm the campus administrator for the Waterview Shores and the Waterview Shores Assisted Living. Over on our assisted living side, we have the capacity for 41 apartments, which most of them are just with one person, but sometimes we do have couples that are there as well. And then over on the skilled nursing care side, we have the capacity for 44 residents in the facility. As for staffing, between the two campuses, we have approximately 70 employees that do work here in different areas, whether it be the skilled nursing side, the assisted living side, doing cares all the way up to maintenance and dietary and all those different departments as well.
And as we became aware of COVID-19 and in short order in March and into April, we moved into, you know, in the what I'll call the civilian population, into stay at home kind of mode. How did your facilities have to respond? How fast did things change? We know that our area, for instance, did not see immediately the number of cases rising fast as happened on the coast. So were you still thrown into full tilt response mode? And how has that evolved over this 8+ months?
Yeah, so it's been a very challenging year, not only for staff, but also the residents as well. I've been in long-term care now for over 17 years. And this by far is the craziest that it's ever been, I guess, in simple terms.
Yeah.
You know, when we're looking at the progression of everything, even though it didn't hit our region right away as a facility, as a campus, we were still required to be proactive and put measures in place to not only protect the residents, but our staff as well. And so with the regulations changing, that was occurring very quickly. So there was a lot of preparation and a lot of behind the scenes work that was done. And it was a day by day basis. And even now, coming into it 8 months later, we are still having a ton of regulation changes and guidance changes, not only from the Minnesota Department of Health, but also from the CDC as well. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that people don't necessarily get to see or understand. But, you know, it's something that takes a lot of thought and care and preparation to not only help keep people safe, but also help them improve their quality of life and have things in place to be able to allow them to visit with their families and see their families and have fun every day.
So it's hard to even know which interesting topic to pick, but we could, for instance, ask, have there been challenges since the get-go in your industry, especially locally, in you sourcing, for instance, things like PPE and other protective supplies?
Well, yeah, with the PPE, we actually had an emergency preparedness supply room that, in the event that there was any emergencies, we had some backup supplies. And with that, those were used up quite quickly. So to access PPE, we're very fortunate. Our parent corporation that we work with is Monarch, and they actually were able to obtain PPE supplies. And so in case our supply was running low, we were able to work with them. We also worked with the Northeastern Coalition for Disaster Preparedness and communicating with them on what is needed and what they were able to send to us. With the northern region, the Arrowhead region of Minnesota, we're very fortunate that we have a lot of great communications, not only from my sister facilities with Monarch, but also locally with our hospital and clinic. We work very closely with them, as well as the public health nursing department as well. They've been amazing. Lake County has been great with being able to help provide some supports or even some gap support when it's needed.
So in the world of Waterview Shores, very early on, did that mean that all the staff who were coming into contact with residents were masked? I mean, was that really possible from the get-go? And
back when
we didn't really have a clear understanding of how important masks were going to be, there was a lot of misconstrued information, I would politely say.
Yes, there is. And actually, when it comes to wearing masks, the healthcare staff here were very familiar with it, because if there is anybody who did have a type of infection, we would put them on precautions, which would include the mask and gowning and all of that. Wearing a mask all the time was definitely an adjustment that people had to make. And so with the limited amount of surgical masks, we did have donations of cloth masks for staff at the facility that we're wearing. And then once we were able to get our supply of surgical masks in, then we switched to surgical, which is what we've been able to do for quite a while now, which is great.
Are those typically disposable, used for a certain period of time, and then you have to have a large inventory?
Yes, that is correct. Yep. So, and fortunately, with the surgical mask supply, we are now able to start getting the orders in the door, which is great. There still is some delays with personal protective equipment, like such as disposable gowns, but we're able to still continue to order and get a supply in that is meeting our needs for right now.
Of course, the governor over time he saw the necessity to institute a mask wearing order. And I'm curious as to how the residents were affected by that. I mean, they are at home, so to speak. Are they, in what context have they been needing to wear masks? And of course, you may have a number of residents for whom the wearing of masks might be problematic.
Yeah, that is something that, you know, we do strongly encourage residents to wear masks when they're out in the hallways, because it does, you know, prevent the spread of infection. That is something that I know is very debatable right now with the general population, you know, but with even my nursing background, that's something that is proven, it's shown. And so for the residents, having the staff come in and wearing masks or wearing eye protection, it was definitely an adjustment. I think now that we've been doing it for so long, it gets a little bit more comfortable, or they're more used to it. But there has been some challenges when it comes to wearing PPE. You don't get to see the smile that your caregiver is giving you when they're doing cares. So one of the things that we have told staff and, you know, told each other is that you can still see a smile through the eyes. As long as you're smiling, you can still see it. So yeah, it's just something to kind of keep in mind. But with right now with COVID, it's something that we've had to adjust to. And with the residents, it's been very challenging for them. And especially with early on limiting of the visitations inside the facility.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you're speaking about the challenge in proper expression of empathy that goes on behind masked folks in an exchange like between caregiver and a resident. It just struck me then even more strongly that, yeah, and that extended to every part of their experience. How did that ensue? When did visitation change dramatically or end? I mean, I really don't know how it went at Waterview Shores. Maybe you could tell that story and talk about how challenging it's been. I mean, what you're doing to try to keep spirits up as best you can.
Well, I know with the visitations, it's always been something that we have really encouraged and tried to be able to get here, especially for our residents at both facilities. What a lot of people don't understand is that there were restrictions put into place for visitations that we had to follow, and we may not have liked it, but we had, you know, to follow it. So there were ways around it, and that we were able to do virtual visits, telephone visits. The progression went to them being able to do window visits and outdoor visits. And then actually, and I don't know off the top of my head when this happened, I think it might have been back in September, we were also able to then open up for some scheduled general visitations. And unfortunately, with a positive case of COVID in the building, you know, we've then had to decrease our general visitations. But we also have something that we have chosen to implement here. It's an essential caregiver and compassionate caregiver program that we are able to then have family members apply. And if they're eligible, we'll be able to come in during scheduled times to meet with their family member and still have a visit, a one-on-one visit, and that person is actually wearing personal protective equipment that the staff would wear as well.
Okay.
And so that's something that we've been able to continue to do over the last few months, which has been great to be able to provide that. Not every facility has chosen to have that program, whereas up here we knew how important it was.
I'm speaking today with Bethany Delvis of Waterview Shores and Two Harbors, and Bethany, that very special visitation arrangement that you just talked about, where the usually a family member, would this apply mostly to family members visiting residents?
Yeah. So with the Essential Caregiver Program, there's different requirements that people have to meet in order to be eligible, and then our interdisciplinary team actually reviews that application or that case and will determine if they meet the requirements or not. And so it's usually like a family member who was, say, living at home with their loved one every day, providing, you know, some type of care or reading the newspaper to them. And then for whatever reason, they ended up in the hospital and then needing some care in a skilled nursing facility. So part of that program is to be able to still have that connection to maintain that quality of life that that person had prior to going in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and with that too, it does increase, especially when you see the community spread of COVID, it does increase the potential risk for bringing COVID into the building.
Yes.
You know, so we do ask and encourage our essential caregivers to do COVID testing prior to coming in, just, you know, to be able to provide that extra barrier of protection. And that way we can help prevent getting COVID in the building as much as possible. You know, when it comes to this disease and the outbreak and the pandemic that we're having, we are anticipating positive cases, you know, at any time. Just because right now we are doing very frequent testing of residents and staff doesn't mean that just because we've had negative cases that tomorrow we may, you know, have a positive case come up too. So it is a day-by-day basis.
In your facilities that a lot of us in the public have been generically thinking of as congregate care facilities, because that's the way so much of the media attention and the maybe the Department of Health lens that we hear about it, it talks about congregate care. But do you have specific regulation right now or advisories as to the testing regime that you need to do, how often it's done, and on which population, staff and or residents? Just very curious.
Yes.
As to how whether that's something that you have instituted or you've been told how many times the test a week.
So I know when it comes to the testing that we're doing right now, it is different than what testing we were doing previous. We are still continuing to test for symptomatic residents and staff. We actually did something called a point prevalence testing survey, which was testing all residents and staff throughout the campus just, you know, to see if we have had any positive cases, and that we did during the summer and had no positive cases come through, which was great. It gave us an idea and a snapshot in time.
Yeah.
So since then, the Minnesota Department of Health and also CMS has come out with requirements and guidance for testing. So right now, for across the United States, there are different testing requirements. So if your county case rate in the last 14 days is a certain percentage, for long-term care facilities, they're required to test their staff either once a month, once a week, or twice a week. And then there's also certain situations on when we would do resident testing. So if there was one positive case, whether it's a staff member or a resident, then we would do testing of all staff and residents on a weekly basis.
So I believe I heard you to say that in your between your two populations that there were cases of COVID, but those were cases among staff and...
Yep.
And were you able to figure out the way the staff may have been exposed such that you had a sense of how much time they might have spent in the in the facility before they were identified. I know that's really tricky, but it occurs to me that if they'd been working a lot of shifts, it might be more concerning than if they called in without having worked, you know, in the last day or two. I guess circumstantially, it might make a difference.
Well, and definitely each case is going to be different. And so what we do is when we get the call that there is a positive case, we actually do something called contact tracing to determine, you know, in the last 48 hours, who have they come in contact with, other employees or residents, were they wearing their personal protective equipment? And there's a lot of stuff that goes into it behind the scenes for reporting. So we also work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Health as well regarding those positive cases that do come up. And they're there to assist with guidance for situations. We've been very fortunate that we have not had any resident positive cases to this date. The staff cases that we have had are usually just one here or one there, and we started seeing those cases as the community spread started to increase. So we do know that with the community spread, there's people that are more prone to getting COVID. And sometimes you can do everything that you can try and sanitize and wear the mask and stay apart. And that's what we encourage our staff to continue to practice and do. And in some cases, you know, you may have a family member that tests positive that you've had close contact with, and other situations that may come up that unfortunately you do get COVID. So, but we've been able to keep things at bay here at both sites, the assisted living and the care center as well.
Well, I think that is just a remarkable, you could call it an achievement of the whole collective that's been involved to get us this long into a pandemic where, as far as I know, almost all of the facilities in the area have had some outbreaks among residents. And it's very remarkable. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, and I know it's definitely heartbreaking because I work very closely with these other facilities that, you know, are around us and throughout the state, and with the spread of it, you know, it's very hard for residents, for staff, for everyone involved, for family members, for the community when you do have those outbreak scenarios. And every day is a day that when we have staff that are coming through the door, I call them healthcare heroes because each and every one of them do such an amazing job and are a vital piece to it. And with our industry in general in healthcare, we were already looking for staff to work, especially CNAs and nurses. And now with the pandemic, that has even highlighted that need even more. And so for our facility, for the assisted living and the care center, we continue to look for our healthcare heroes to join our team and have been able to do nursing assistant classes on site to be able to train people. And if they're interested in becoming CNAs, then we can get them working and on the floor and helping. We have some scholarship programs, too, that I actually was able to utilize. I was a director of nursing for many years up here, and through a scholarship program, became an administrator. It's definitely something that is exciting to be able to see and also be able to utilize myself to help kind of move forward. And education is so important, especially in our region with the opportunities that we can help provide for people.
Yes, sounds like you'd be quite a model for an aspiring young healthcare professional. And let me get this right, though, that there has not been a lag in people willing to step up to try to enter entry-level training during this time when a lot of people might be really wary and anxious about, you know, the safety of the whole thing?
Yeah, we've actually had some challenges where I think that there are some people that are out there that are nervous, but once they reach out and talk to us, we can explain to them what that looks like. And with the different jobs that are in the facility, whether it be hands-on direct care or some behind the scenes, you know, cooking in the kitchen, there's a lot of different opportunities that are available. And with being able to see some of our high school students be willing and able to come in and join our team, that's very encouraging. And I look forward to that because that's the next generation that's coming out and coming into our field.
Well, it is indeed. And what's interesting is a lot of us have been anxious about how some of the young people in the 15 to 19 or 20 to 29 age bracket have been, have been typecast as being the ones that are not taking as much precaution because obviously they might have the feeling that they're going to be less susceptible to the impact of it. But there are others that are stepping up as caregivers as well. So there's no easy way to paint the picture of how the younger generation is responding.
Yeah, that's true. And it's something that I've seen fluctuate throughout the years, too, with sometimes we have a lot of high school volunteers that used to be able to, come through the doors and get to know the residents and then jump into a healthcare field. And then we've had some years where we haven't had very much. So it's great to be able to see that during a pandemic, having some of our high school students or even the 20-something college students be willing to step up and become healthcare heroes during this time.
Well, thanks. I've been speaking with Bethany Delvis of Waterview Shores and Two Harbors, and remarkable story of being able to keep the residents on their campus from having any confirmed COVID cases so far. And yet we're a long ways into this pandemic, and most people are telling us we still have a ways till the light really brightens at the end of the tunnel. So, Bethany, how is it looking for pivoting towards the arrival of vaccination availability for both staff and or for the most vulnerable, many of whom might be in your care? Is it hard to see how that's coming down the pike, or could you give us a picture of what you see happening?
So it's funny that you say that, because I just got an email today about some more changes to the vaccine. When it comes to the COVID vaccine, I am very excited about it. I'm very excited to see what the results are going to be, as well as how quickly we can get it here. One of our pieces that's just huge, and I'm going to do a shout out to Louise Anderson and her team with Lake County. They have been amazing when it comes to collaboration with testing and support, as well as with the vaccinations. They're willing to help with the administration as well. And so I actually have a call, I think, tomorrow with them to talk more about it. And with the complexity of the vaccine, we do have a partnership with our pharmacy right now that will be able to help with that storage. And then we're working out the final details with Lake County as how it's going to look. So every day it keeps changing. So nothing's quite finalized yet because the regulation keeps changing.
Right.
So
that's your world.
That's our world. So we are lucky. We do have weekly phone calls with the Minnesota Department of Health, as well as an organization called Care Providers that helps kind of give us some of that information quicker or through the pipeline sooner before we, see it on the news or, on the website. And they can also help clarify some things as well. So, but yeah, it's definitely a moving target, but I am very hopeful that we'll be able to start administering sooner than later.
Well, fantastic. We look forward to hearing more details, and we'll be talking to our other healthcare providers and the public health infrastructure trying to figure out how that's going to play out in Lake County. But it sounds like you are on top of it for the folks on your campus, and that is exciting to think about that things may look up fairly soon. I guess we're talking about probably within a month or two.
Yeah, so it's definitely coming through quite faster than I thought it was. That is encouraging, especially when it comes to the population that we're working with.
Right.
Not only for the employees, but the residents too.
Yeah, it'll be
very hopeful.
It'll be a much longer arc, I think, for those of us that are down the line of vulnerabilities and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to have to be rigorous and not let COVID fatigue let us rest on our laurels as we go into 2021. But I'm hopeful that your campus will see that the protection that comes from those vaccination administrations happen pretty soon. Bethany, is there anything that you would like to share with folks that I didn't ask about that's important for folks to understand about how the long-term care, the assisted living facility in Two Harbors has fared through this pandemic? Any shout-outs or lessons, big lessons that you want to share?
One of the big things is that We have an amazing team of employees up here in Two Harbors, and it's been just great to see everybody coming together, working as a team through all of this to be able to care for our residents and create something special each day for them. I can't even say anything more to that because my heart just swells with how amazed I am and how touched I am to coming to work every day, knowing that it's a challenge. And with COVID fatigue for healthcare workers, it's something that's real. So if you have a family member that, you know, is working in healthcare right now, or you have a friend, send them a little note and just say thank you, or just let them know that you appreciate all the hard work that they're doing. We recently did what I called COVID care kits for our employees. And it was just a little basket of different things like oranges and teas and a little extra things just to say thank you for all that you're doing during COVID. Let's take care of you. And especially with everything that is going on in our community, we have seen those numbers increase. And They are choosing to keep their loved ones safe. They're choosing to keep the residents here safe by, you know, socially distancing. And so as a community, let's keep that going. Let's bring these numbers back down, because we know that how devastating it is once it does hit the older population. And so being able to keep those numbers down, wear your mask, sanitize, socially distance, especially during the holiday season, it is hard.
Yeah. I think you're just pointing out there are many people whose faces and names you may not know that you're helping to protect here. And this is Thank you so much for reinforcing that point.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I know that every day is a very busy day and everybody is working long and hard hours, and each and every one of them, for people that are out there, whether it's in healthcare or in the food industry or in the trucking industry, or it's something that we see and I see, and I want to say thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Bethany. It seems to me that everyone should maybe add a little bit of a new ritual to whatever you do at the holidays. Take some moments to think about and thank, maybe some, you know, actual gestures of just humble but meaningful gifts and nods of appreciation to all the people that are working in the healthcare and caring professions, the essential workers everywhere. Thank you.
Yes.
So I appreciate very much your time today, Bethany, and good luck. And you have the appreciation of the whole community. Whatever you've been doing, I hope you're able to maintain. And thanks for all you do. And speaking with Bethany Delvis of Waterview Shores, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. You take care.
You too.
Bethany Delvis is the campus administrator for Waterview Shores in Two Harbors, Minnesota. This is Leo Babiu for KTWH.